Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We believe that through the power of love that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have Terrell Jackson.
What's up?
How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you, T?
Good. If you're wondering where Todd Jackson is, he's not feeling well, so he stayed home. You know where I'm going, but we're not going to do that today. We're not going to mess with illness, so we hope you feel better, Taj. Make sure you get your rest, take your vitamins, drink your water. But we miss you, man, so feel better. We are live on the Power of Love show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we're going to open up the phone lines and take a few questions via phone call, but also through Twitter. Hopefully you'll call in, but if you prefer to tweet, that's fine. Our Twitter handle is at the letters DDJ and then the word foundation. So at DDJ Foundation. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not rely solely on us. With that said, Terrell, how was your week?
The week was fine. The week is fine. Settling back in. It was a crazy week. It was a crazy week the week before. Okay. Obviously, Bree lost her grandmother just been a little bit hectic.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the DDJF Costume for a Cause coming.
Yeah, coming up, yeah.
It's just been, and then there's a lot of school things going on. So it's just, this month has just been crazy. Went to the doctor, had my ultrasound. I came from the doctor this morning.
Yeah.
And got some of my results of things, so some good, some bad. Uh-oh. Nothing that I didn't know.
It's always good.
Cholesterol's high. It's not my sweets and sugars cholesterol. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like
triglycerides. I don't know. Glycerides.
But those ones were normal, which was shocking to me. But the other ones were high, so I gotta get
that. Is that salt and?
No, the sweets and sugars was normal.
Yeah.
The other ones was like butter, cheese.
Oh.
Fried foods, oil, that was high.
Okay, well, I knew
something was coming back high.
But the key is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the first step.
But the bad thing is I knew.
Yeah, but
I kind of knew it was going to be.
But the good thing is it's confirmed.
Yeah.
So now you know. And
well, I knew
no
what
doubt.
I had to do before,
mm-hmm.
but now I have like a little bit more incentive. So I'm going back in 4 months.
Good.
I guess that puts me around February.
Okay.
So I got to do that. And there's a couple other things. But for the most part, liver's good, kidney's good, all that stuff is good. So I'm happy.
Cool.
Somewhat healthy, I guess. Just got to work on those things.
Yeah, okay.
And then I also went, because I think I may have a hernia. What is it? Abdomen hernia?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And I went for the ultrasound, but I guess he said it can or it cannot detect it. I don't know why I'm discussing this, but whatever.
Yeah,
this is my week. Yeah. so I have to go see a specialist.
Okay.
So I don't know. I hope. I don't know. There's something there. It's not nothing.
Right.
So hopefully I get that resolved. But I'm not looking forward to that if I have to have surgery.
Okay, well, like I said, at least you know. That's the first
step. And at least everything else, because I was also concerned that I would get something bad back. Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah. But I'm overall okay. Just got to work on my my diet and my health.
Yeah.
Which I knew I had to do anyways.
Which I think a lot of us do. So you're not alone there. But okay, well, my week was similar to yours. I mean, I didn't deal with a serious loss as closely, but it's just been crazy busy, you know, getting ready for this event this weekend, these events this weekend.
Yeah.
And then just Halloween in general, just, you know, and it's the end of the month. There's a lot going on and, you know, family, work, all that stuff. So it's
a crazy month.
It is.
There's a lot going on this month.
And I didn't know Halloween month was that crazy. And I don't.
I realized what it is.
What is it?
We have a lot of birthdays as well.
Yes.
And your son had one yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday, Ro. So, we did that. I think you're right.
And I had a tryout, speaking of Ro.
For baseball?
I had tryouts for...
basketball.
Adrian had his the other day.
Baseball?
No, basketball.
Okay.
And Bryce has his later today, but the place I took him to was where we coached. We coached Bryce and Didi when they were five.
In Calabasas.
At Calabasas. Oh, cool. We coached their teams. So Adrian's older now, but it's the same place, same league.
Yeah.
And then that's, of course, when we coached Royal in Travagic's team.
Yeah.
And good times, that team won the championship.
Yes, we did.
And I saw a couple of familiar faces there. So I'm going to... Bryce is into basketball, so we're going back. But yeah,
we
talked about Royal. He asked about Royal and everything.
Are you coaching?
You know what, TJ?
Probably not. Yeah, I know. I trust
him. I don't know if I want to coach.
I hear
you. Want to take a break.
You're coaching baseball. That's hard and long.
But I love the kids. I love coaching, and I love teaching the kids. And
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if I have to, I will. But I kind of want to sit back and watch Bryce play.
I hear you, man.
And film and just enjoy.
Cool. So I was going to say, Terrell, we can go straight into it.
Give out the number for the phone line?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do that. So the phone number, if you want to call and join in, we're going to be pretty open with today's topic. But if you want to call in and contribute to the show, the phone number to call in is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. So Terrell, let's go straight into it. What is the topic?
So I was looking up some things, and I just found a really good list that it's almost a review. There's 27 things. It's a pretty long list, but we'll just go over it.
Yeah.
But it's things that help you with loss and grief, which is basically what we talk about all the time. But there's 27 things here, and I think some of the things that I saw on the list were things that we've discussed on the show, and there's a couple of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought overall it'd be a great thing to discuss and share with the listeners.
I love it. So let's, should we get straight into it?
Yep.
All right. So let's go. This is your thing, your list. Let's hit us with number one. You ready for it? You want me to do it?
Yeah, you do number one.
Okay.
It's kind of a...
So, obviously we're talking about things that can help you when you're grieving. The first one is attend a dinner put on by the dinner party. And we had the dinner party as guests.
That's why I like number one.
So
I was like, hey,
shout out to, our guests, our past guests, the dinner party, but attend a dinner put on by the dinner party. And a little recap is, we know what it is to lose a loved one and we're not afraid to talk about it. And it's a dinner party. And what I loved about it is it kind of flipped it where, I think, we've always say this, but when you grieve or when you're going through loss, we tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to, close ourselves off emotionally, physically, sometimes sadly even spiritually. But we tend to, really doubt and isolate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I loved about the dinner party is it's kind of hits all that right in the face where it's the exact opposite. You're going to go and socialize and talk and kind of celebrate. But then again, it is what it could be just about talking about your grief. So it doesn't have to be certainly celebrated.
It's also just being around people that are dealing with the same things you are. And, sometimes you don't want to talk about loss, but you have that connection where you can discuss other things and you can just feel normal.
It's as one of the quotes here says, it's the best way to roll with the emotions.
Mm-hmm. I had never heard of this idea.
I haven't either.
Have you?
No, not until our guests.
And I thought that was, I would never think of something like this, but it's great. I didn't know it exists. And, for anybody, any listeners that are interested in that, you can go to their website and check it out. But it's, definitely it helps. 'Cause whenever you're dealing with people that are experiencing the same things or have experienced, communication, talking, having people support, help you go through I liked it. Number one.
Absolutely. Okay. So, and they are expanding, mm-hmm. but if you can't locate where a dinner party is, create one, and I encourage everyone who's dealing with a loss to seek out others who are in that same scenario. obviously be safe if you don't know who it is. And if you're doing one on your own, be safe, because I also feel that if you just go out there, you could be vulnerable and naive, because I would think people would prey on your weakened state and your emotions. So you got to be very careful if you're just going to randomly go out there. But maybe there's a friend of a friend that knows someone that's dealing with something. You know, maybe you can find a new bond that way. But, you know, social media, that's one of the great things. It can connect us in that way with people who have similar stories. So don't be shy. Go out there and help yourself with whatever it is you're going through. Let's go with number 2.
I'll take it. Number 2 is set aside about 15 minutes each day to be by yourself in a quiet place to give yourself space to grieve.
I love this, you know, because I think 10 to 15 minutes to focus on many things could help us, whether it's gratitude, whether it's to, you know, your goals and your aspirations, whether it's family time, you know, obviously more for family time, but just being able to segment time out of your day for a specific focus is a very strong and important practice.
I agree. I think this is important to do every day, regardless, you know, and especially when you're grieving, everything is heightened. The emotions. So definitely when you're grieving or going through loss, I think everybody needs that time to just, reflect and just, be.
Yeah.
Just be.
And this one can, you know, and I feel should be by yourself in a quiet place where you can concentrate on whoever it is you lost. And you can cry, you can laugh, you can give yourself permission to do whatever you're feeling. Cause it's very important not to block anything that you're going through. It's all got to come out, and it's all got to come out. That's how you're going to become a healthy griever. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get that time.
I think it's to recognize, to be in tune with yourself and recognize what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're going to keep running through it because there is 27, and we're going to try to get to all 27 today. We will be taking phone calls as well.
If any of this hits you.
So any of this hits you or you can relate to it, please make sure to give us a call. Number 3, we're going to write letters to your loved one. And this is something I never considered doing. Did you ever do this?
I have not.
Okay.
But the closest, I guess, would be
a song.
Lyrics. Yeah.
And which is good. I'm happy you pointed that out, because I think a lot of people may think because we're musicians, we have that extra outlet by writing songs, but you can just write a letter and everyone can write a letter. So make sure, I just think you got to make sure you respect what writing a letter does, you know, and it's the same thing. The goal here is to get it out. All 3 steps we've talked about has been about getting it out. First one was the dinner parties, talking, connecting. Second was being by yourself, letting yourself cry, whatever. And this third one is writing a letter, writing a song, whatever it is. You got to get your emotions and your true feelings out.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I mean, it's very similar to a journal, you know, even just writing it on paper and just reading it. I know a lot of people do that where they write and then they throw it in the fireplace and, you know, they get their emotions out that way. But same thing, just put your emotions, the object I believe is just to get your emotions out there.
On this list, we're reading it from a BuzzFeed article, but on under number 3, which is write letters to your loved one, I want to read the caption. This is from someone who is dealing with grief or dealt with grief. Well, not dealt, because we're all, once we experience it just, you know, morphs into different things, but this is a quote. I lost my brother to suicide in 2013. The hardest thing is just letting myself grieve. I don't like being that vulnerable, but I found some ways to help me cope with it. One of the most helpful things has been writing him letters. I keep him updated on everything that I can, like how his daughter is growing up and how I'm doing in college. It's silly and one-sided, but I like to think that he actually sees them. When I'm sad, I find myself doing a lot of his favorite things. I listen to all of his music and watch all of his favorite movies. And thanks to him, now I make a damn good Captain and Coke. So it's just a cool way to stay connected to your lost one, because I think that's another thing that happens when we lose someone we love. We feel it's the end of a relationship.
The
connection is lost.
And it's not.
And it's not. Number 4.
It's perfect for Taj.
Binge watch a lot of TV. Binge watched. I don't get to binge watch as much as I'd love to. But why do you think this made the list, Terrell? What is it about binge watching?
Todd would definitely say it's escapism. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I don't know why I'm answering this in Todd's like thoughts, but I think it's getting away laughing.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that you have to watch comedies, but I think when you're going through something as serious as loss and grief, you feel there's a possibility of feeling guilty for laughing and smiling when it's necessary to escape, you know, and, to feel those things. So I think binge watching, it's a way to get away from your reality.
Yeah.
And lose, when you're watching TV, it's like when you're focused on television, you can't think about the other things.
Well, yeah, I agree. And you can get lost, you know, it's the same thing you said, but you can get lost in other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of a relief for yourself, and in a way it's connecting, you know, because in every single show, there's usually some type of loss, tragedy, or something. And that way you can realize it's not just you and you're not just isolated. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a phone call. Who do we have with us on the line today on The Power of Love? Hello? Did I do something? Oh, here we go. We lost our caller, but let's see. Hopefully they'll call back soon. Let's keep it rolling. Number 5. Do you have it, Daryl?
Commemorate milestones with their favorite food.
Okay.
I think we had something similar.
Yeah.
We had a guest speak about this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Do you do this?
I've never done this. I don't know if it's because of my memory's not the best. Like, I don't even know what mom's favorite food or even Uncle Michael's favorite food or anyone really close to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. But, you know, I guess like on the anniversary of losing a loved one, you kind of like dedicate that day to them.
I think the idea is just trying to stay connected.
Mm-hmm.
And never to forget them and to feel there's that connection that they're still with you by having, you know, their favorite food or having something that you would get with them. So it's the idea of staying connected. But I think about this is funny, but I think about the Neverland ice cream all the time.
Yeah.
The yogurt. That was like incredible. But I often, you know, sometimes I feel like having that. It's not, I don't go to Neverland, obviously, but when I have frozen yogurt,
yeah,
takes
you back.
You know, yeah, it takes me back to, I think about that a lot.
Yeah. Okay, let's take the phone call. Who do we have with us on The Power of Love?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
How's it going?
Excellent.
Oh, anyways, I just lost another friend to cancer, and I was expecting it, but it's like a shock to your system when it happens and everything, and stuff like that, and I had to stay put for one day. It was like kind of denial, and then I felt kind of sick for a while, and the next day I was really angry. Mm-hmm. And then it's like I got to keep myself busy or else, you know, I'm gonna go crazy, you know, about my loss of my friend with cancer again. It's like I have lost 4 people to cancer, really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got together with one of my friends and it really helped a lot.
Good Carol, you've dealt with a lot of loss in the recent year or two, right?
Three people this year.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Carol.
I know. It's like you're having aftershocks, you know, when it happens all over again. It's just really, you know, and he's like, why is this all happening? You know, because we're all getting older, you know?
Mm.
And you guys have losses as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're not alone. Carol, let me ask you this. Obviously, each loss is different. Is there anything that has helped you as you know, as you've experienced each one?
Talking to my friends, listening to your music, tweeting Tiffany.
Oh.
You know, she's helped me out and everything. And I have, you know, sometimes I get really bad feelings. Like I get angry. And I mean, today's not one of them. You know, and it's like, I can't be that way, you know, and I guess that's part of the grieving thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and I do have,
Go ahead, Carol, I'm sorry.
I do have a few good things. I mean, some of it was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
At my job, I wanted a new chair, and all of a sudden somebody brought in a chair, and I said to my coworker, "Do you want it?" He goes, "No, I got a new chair without asking." I thought that was kind of funny. And then my neighbor's dog next door went ballistic.
Uh-oh.
The dog jumped over the fence. I told the dog in a kind of rough voice to go home. She jumped over the fence and went home.
Hey, well, there you go.
And my friend Jill's getting better. Her diabetes is getting better and better.
Well,
I mean, I almost lost her because when she was operated with her legs were clogged and everything, she had a pneumonia, she had a collapsed lung, and she bounced right back.
Wow. You know, Carol, we're going to keep going on this list because it's a long list, but
okay.
I want to just send you all the love and strength, and I'm happy you called told us the importance of, and what I liked about what you said is how you know, one of the things that keep you strong is tweeting with Tiffany, you know, because it's a relatively, I don't want to say simple thing, but it's something that I think we would take
for granted,
you know, and I thank you, Tiffany, for being there for Carol. And I, again, that's one of the things my brothers and I love about, and the foundation loves about this show, is that we're building a little bit of a community, because like you said, Carol, we're all getting older. So eventually we're going to deal with loss more and more, and the better prepared we are, and the better we can deal with it, the better our life will be for not only us, but for all our loved ones around us. So again, thank you for the call, and thanks for chiming in. And stay strong, okay?
And you guys are wonderful. And take care, and I love you guys.
We love you too, Carol. Be safe, okay?
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love it, you know? And really, for all our listeners, it's a commitment to be here every Wednesday at 1. You know, we try. We're pretty good. I mean, there's only been a couple of times a year, I think, where none of us can be here, and it's for work reasons, but this is an important thing for us. We want to really, you know, make our little imprint on the world for that reason, to try to build some type of community. It may not be the biggest, but it is a community, and that's what we love about it.
Everything helps.
Everything helps. Yeah. So we got one more phone call we're going to take real quick. Who do we have on the line with us on The Power of Love?
This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to call in today because I think I can relate to this. My good friend, Alicia, I think she called a couple weeks ago. She loves your show, never misses it each week.
Mm.
But I was listening with her today, and I can relate, you know, to loss of different things, you know, losing loved ones.
Yeah.
And I do agree that writing letters to them definitely helps and kind of makes you feel like they're still, you know, in the midst of what's going on in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, Teresa, have you ever done that?
I have, actually. My son, this is about maybe 20 years ago, but his father had passed away when my son was young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when important things happened in my son's life, I would write him letters, and sometimes I would go out to the cemetery and just sit and talk with him.
That's beautiful.
So that does, you know, even now, it still helps from time to time.
That's beautiful. I love that. And like I said, you know, we've dealt with our own loss, Teresa, but we've never done the writing the letter thing. But I think it's a great thing to do. You know, you're getting your feelings out, and like you said, you're connecting, you know, and you feel like they're
exactly.
still along the ride. They're still along the journey. So I commend you for doing that.
Exactly.
And Teresa, like I told Carol, we're going to keep the show going, but I don't know if I've ever heard your voice, so I'm very appreciative that you called.
This is the first time for me. Like I said, my good friend calls, but I love y'all. Thank you.
Well, Teresa, thanks for calling. Thanks for joining. Thanks for giving that advice for our listeners, because I bet you someone's going to take that advice and improve their life. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Definitely.
Look forward to hearing you again.
You God bless, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, Teresa. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I like that.
Yeah, it's great. It's beautiful. We love that. And you know, it's going to keep building, and we love hearing new voices. So anyone out there who's intimidated or scared to call, don't be afraid. We're all the same. We're all, you know, we're all dealing with loss some way or another, or will be. So no one's alone. Okay, Tara, let's keep it rolling. Number 6. This is something I've never heard of, actually. And I got to admit, the name seems kind of morbid and scary. Mm-hmm. But the number six is find a local death cafe to talk about death and grieving with others who have experienced loss. Again, I think the gist of it is to connect with others. So, you know, you're not feeling alone. You're not isolated. But the term death cafe is pretty morbid, or to me. Mm-hmm. But what's so cool is I could flip it and say that they're trying to take the taboo
right.
out of the word and try to desensitize it and in a way take away its power, yeah. you know, because the word death is a scary word. But mm-hmm. So any input on?
No, I've never heard of this, but it's great. It is a hard subject to talk about. You don't just walk into a conversation and start speaking about death. But we need to, and I mean, not start right away, but you need to feel comfortable that you can have these conversations and we can discuss it, because people go through this. It's part yeah. of life, and we just need to be there for each other and, you know, build that community so we can help each other navigate through it all.
Now, I don't know where a death cafe, how you get involved with a death cafe, but it's similar to the dinner party where you're meeting in a coffee shop mm-hmm. and to discuss anything and everything to do about death. So that's a very interesting one that I've never heard of, but maybe it'll work for someone, maybe yep. some coffee lover. Okay, number seven, look through old pictures, emails, letters, and anything else you've shared. You know, self-explanatory.
Yeah,
self-explanatory. I think we've all done this. I think this is one thing our society does do. We'll put pictures up. We'll hold on to letters. And, you know, we'll glance through them and see them and reminisce. And it's important too, you know, because when we lose someone, especially someone special who's contributed to our lives, we want to remember them and do something great for them and keep them in our existence. You know, we want to keep them alive within. So this is something I think a lot of people do, and it's great to do.
Yep.
You want to go for number eight?
Tell a lot of jokes.
Yes. Ones. Jokes. Do you know any jokes, Daryl?
I used to know a lot of jokes. I don't know any jokes really off the top of my head.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Not really.
But yeah, tell jokes, and I guess shocking ones. Something I've never done, but again, I think the whole thing is to bring out a different emotion.
Get your emotions out.
Yeah.
Laughter, anger, all of that is part of it. You're going to feel guilty for laughter, but I think you still need to keep living and you still need to smile.
And you may feel guilty, because at the same time, I can make the argument that your loved one would want you smiling mm-hmm, and laughing.
Exactly.
So don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be afraid to be true to yourself, you know, and I tell my family every now and then that, you know, if something ever happens to me, you know, I'll be all right. And as long as you're happy and moving on in life, I'm happy. So I was trying to kind of reflect or redirect in advance how they can deal with it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think anyone who's passed would want you as their loved one to smile Definitely. And laugh. So we're going to take a phone call. Who do we have on the line with us today on The Power of Love?
Hi guys, it's Meredith.
Hey Meredith, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I was calling in reference to the one where you said the pictures and actually the tale of the jokes.
Yes.
The picture one, the thing that I like about that with me, because I just moved here to California and I was trying to set up my apartment, and I was thinking, okay, I still want my mom to be a part of it. So for some reason out of blue, I thought about finding some type of picture where she was cooking something and a picture of what she cooked. And what I did was I enlarged those pictures and put them in my kitchen, on my kitchen wall, where I could feel like, okay, she's still, you know, present, because her cooking, we used to always brag on her cooking. And that really brought comfort to me. So every time I walk in my kitchen, I could still see the pictures of her at different stages when she was cooking and a picture of what she cooked. And also telling jokes. That's the main thing that keep me going. And when I say telling jokes, I mean laughing at incidents that may have happened in the past with her that made us laugh. And I could just hear her like still saying, hey, don't be talking about me in my mind, you know,
because
I feel she's still present. So
yeah.
Those two I can definitely identify with.
It's funny you say that, because my mother's one of her best friends is someone who I actually go to for my haircuts. And there's often times where she'll actually just say that. She'll say, you know, she'll tell a funny story or out of the blue. If I went to somewhere, another city in the country, she's like, your mother always said this. And then it'll take her to a whole, you know, a laughing part, you know, something about my mother. And it's beautiful to see because I know she's still suffering with my mother's loss. But whenever she laughs and talks about and reminisces about my mother or times with her, she gets a little oomph, you know, she gets a little happiness, a little jolt. So it's true, you know, reminisce and share your moments with your loved ones. It's a wonderful thing. So
yes, I definitely agree.
Meredith, thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
And thanks for sharing your info and contributing. All right.
Okay.
Have a great rest of your week. All righty. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a good phone call.
Yeah.
And it triggered, because I know with Taj and I, when we play, and even when you're on the phone, we do that with Uncle Michael sometimes. we'll sometimes. Joke around. We do that a lot. We imitate his voice and
what he would
what
say.
What he would say at a certain situation. And it creates laughter for the three of us.
Yeah.
And it keeps us close to him. So
true.
It's you know, falls in this category of keeping the laughter and telling jokes.
Which is so interesting to me because I feel like even reading through this list, it pops out at you like it's something you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting. I don't know if that's because of our...
It's because the subject is so sad and it's you're losing and you're grieving. It's almost the opposite to be happy and joyful. And that's what jokes
are. I feel like that's something... It's a cultural thing. I think we've kind of made this whole process very rigid and very serious, which it obviously is serious, but we also have to understand that not everyone grieves the same way.
Yeah, because it's a sadness situation, but it's also a celebration of their life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's that.
It's kind of like, you know, I could kind of compare it to like a jersey retirement. You know, or a Hall of Fame induction where, you know, where you're no longer active in the event, but it's not a sad thing. It's a celebratory thing. You know, we go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or baseball or sport Hall of Fame or retirement, and it's a celebration. So I would love for our society to kind of move in that way.
I think it's different, though, because when you lose someone, you never see them again. You never hear from them again. And it's the unknown. Nobody can really say what happens after you pass. So it's unknown, you know, we'd like to think certain things, you know, maybe that's just so we can help us navigate through it as well. But, you know, there, you have your superstars or your legends that played sports or whatever they've done. Once they retire, you still see them. They still see, you know, they're still on television or they come through to their old stomping grounds and, you know, they get the applause. So it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about end of the world, we have someone halfway across our country. It wasn't world, so I don't know where I'm going. But we have, is it Tiffany on the line with us?
Yes, it is.
What's going on, Tiffany? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all?
We are good. What you got for us today?
Tiffany's not on the other side.
I know.
It's confusing me.
I told you I don't know where I was going with this.
I thought we were going like to Asia or something.
No, not today. Not today. What you got for us, Tiffany?
I was listening to you with the little key points with dealing with death and grief and everything. And the one that really spoke to me was like binge watching TV shows.
Okay.
Because I found myself doing that, like, even before my parents passed, that was just like one TV show that I would just always watch. And it would be like, don't bother me for the hour that it's on unless the house is burning down or something. Don't bother me.
And what is it about?
It's
go ahead. What was it about the TV show? What is it about binge watching? Is it the escapism?
Yes, because my favorite TV show is Miami Vice.
Oh, the new or the old one? There's two, right? Yeah.
It has to be the old one.
No, the one with Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas, the original.
That's the original.
Is there Tubbs on that show? I never really watched that.
Wait,
is there Tubbs? Is that one of the names?
Yeah, that was the black guy. That's Philip Michael Thomas.
What's his name? Mr. Tubbs or something?
Yeah. Ricardo Tubbs.
Ricardo Tubbs.
That's all I remember from the show.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's the escapism, right, Tiffany? Is that what it is?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I'm real big on like 80s pop culture stuff anyway. So that was just like a gold mine to me. And I'm sitting right here 2 feet away from my DVD box set of it. So.
Ah, cool.
So does it take you back to a time?
Well, it actually came out before I was born, but like, yeah, like I like cop shows and stuff like that. Like okay. I grew up with like Miami Vice, Cops, In the Heat of the Night, Hill Street Blues, that sort of stuff.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So it's just basically a series that you really enjoy and you have gotten really into it.
Yeah. I like the music and the fashion and the storyline.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's cool.
And I mean, my life was just so boring and I was just so flashy. So.
Yeah, okay.
Those were the days. Sorry you missed them.
Look at you, like you're all up in them. Okay, so Tiffany, I have another question for you. Are you the Tiffany okay. that Carol, our earlier caller, was saying was helping her?
Yes.
First of all, thank you for that. And on behalf
you're
of
welcome.
All of us, thank you. And I wanted to ask you a couple questions regarding that.
Okay.
What is your mindset? Or what do you go... What's your mindset when you're tweeting Carol or anyone else who's dealing with anything?
Just basically trying to be a shoulder they can cry on or an ear to, you know, just vent to without being judged or anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does it tend to help? Go ahead.
No, I just try to be like a comforting force for them, like in the corner. Because I've had so many people say, well, Tiffany, I wouldn't have... I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but just people saying, well, Tiffany, if it hadn't been for you reaching out or, you know, whatever, I don't know how I would have dealt with this and, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Does it help you at all going in your life at all?
Yes, because I know what it's like to have been at a place where you needed somebody to talk to or just, you know, somebody who wouldn't judge you with whatever you said. And, you know, I didn't have that. Like, my father had his, you know, my father was very old. And he had his certain ideas about how different situations should be approached and handled. Mm-hmm. And if I went to the left of that, he washed his hands of it. So mm-hmm. a lot of the time, a lot of the stuff I went through, I had to keep it internalized.
Right. Which is no bueno. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was just wanting to know from your perspective, since, you know, it was just beautiful to hear for us, you know, to hear that you guys have a little bond and I'm sure, you know, well, I assume that you're helping others, whether it's social media or, in your inner circle. So I think it's a beautiful thing, right. Tiffany, and keep being that strong support system for everyone, not everyone, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it also helps
and
you.
I was having trouble with taking care of Carol because I unfortunately lost a friend over the weekend too.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry to hear. This yeah. weekend?
Yes. Oh. Saturday.
I'm sorry to hear that. So how are you handling yeah. that?
It's really hard because it was a guy I went to dialysis with. His name was Quentin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was just the nicest person. I don't want to get like teary eyed about it, but you know, he was just the most accommodating person. I like to think of him like a social butterfly because when he'd come in, he'd shake all the guys' hands. He'd be kissing all the girls, all the nurses.
Yeah.
You know, just the most, like, outgoing person. And he got sick Saturday after I left because he leaves after I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back Tuesday, they were telling me about it. So we were trying to call a hospital. We were trying to find out everything. And come to find out he had passed away.
Oh, man.
And he wasn't like maybe 50-something. He wasn't very old.
Mm. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about that, Tiffany. And, you know, like I said, you know, it happens to all of us, and it's going to happen to all of us. No one's alone. No one's in their, you know, own privileged world in this sense. So, you know, just be open about it. Speak, you know, however you feel necessary to handle that, you do it. You know, whether it's crying, whether it's laughing, whether it's sharing jokes, whether it's drawing a picture, whether it's putting a picture up, do what you feel is necessary
right,
for yourself, Tiffany.
I will.
All right. Well, as always, Tiffany, thanks for your phone call and thanks for chiming in and contributing. And you have a great rest of your week, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right, take care.
Tiffany. Thank you.
All right, bye, guys. Thank you.
So back to our list.
That's what makes this show so hard. It's just sadness.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's part of life, and we gotta discuss it and learn how to deal with these situations.
Yeah.
Because it does help to talk about it. I mean, lately, the last few months, I've been around loss more than, I mean, nobody wants to be around loss, but I've been through it, and I've learned how to handle it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it helps to discuss and to learn.
You know what, Tara? I think we should try something. I think, let me take this tweet, if that's okay. This tweet is from, since Todd isn't here. Again, I'm not going to go there. But this is a tweet from Marlene. She says, "Sometimes I'm afraid of bothering people around me when I'm in mourning or I'm not good. I prefer to isolate myself to not scare away those I esteem. I guess I like the ones I love and respect. I'm afraid they can't understand my feelings." So, do you have a response?
That's a tough one because I think being alone can be good, but being alone all the time can be dangerous. I think your loved ones that really love and care for you, I would assume that they would want to be there for you, and they want you to come talk to them. They want you to share your feelings, and they want to support you. So I would say, don't feel that you can't bother them because they want to support you. And it could be a simple thing as where, and I'm guilty of this. I can say I was like this before, not knowing how to approach somebody. Yeah. You know, maybe they don't know how to approach you, but they're the first ones that want to be there for you. They just don't know how. So I would say if you feel like it and you want to, definitely open up and don't feel like you're bothering them, because your loved ones are there to support you.
And to piggyback off what you're saying, Tara, I completely agree, because there's times where, whether it's a friend or family member, or even like an associate is dealing with a loss. I've always said this. I have a history on the show, you know, confessing this. I feel lost. I'm getting better. But if you asked me 2 years ago when we first started the show, I wouldn't know what to say a lot of times. You know, I don't know what to do. And just being there is the best solution to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would love for, if a friend lost someone, for them to say, "Can I talk to you for 10 minutes? And so they can pour out their emotions. It would make me, as the non-grieving, the non, you know, directly affected one, so happy. So I would caution you, Marlene, and anyone else to worry too much about that. You know, obviously, I think one of the things that you're afraid of is that dealing with loss is a sad thing and you don't want to weigh them down. But it's actually the opposite. If they're in your life, they care about you. And if they care about you, they are literally desiring, mm-hmm. without saying dying, to talk to you and to connect with you and to assure that they're there for you. So be proactive on that. And if it's one of those things where you don't want to, you know, maybe schedule a meeting, a lunch, or mm-hmm. and just, you know, I guarantee they'll be right there and just say, "There's something I want to get off my chest, and I trust you and love you, and it's something that, you know, if you could just lend your ear, it would mean a lot to me."
And sometimes they may not be able to relate to you, but still having that one person that you trust that, you know, you can go and talk to, I think it's definitely worth it. But again, they may not understand. They may have never dealt with loss, but at the same time, I would, if they're, you know, family or close friends, they love you and they want to support you and they will be there to listen.
And then to answer this, to end it, if reaching out via phone call or in person is difficult, write a letter or an email to that person. You know, I think it's less fearful for you of what you're afraid of denying, of being denied or, you know, being a burden for them. A letter is a simple thing to do. And I guarantee the response you get back will exceed your expectations and make you feel good. the one thing I don't want you to do is to be isolated, mm-hmm. because you know, it's so important to get how you feel out. With that said, let's go on to number 9, because this is something that, you know, connects to what we just talked about. Number 9, seek out a therapist you trust. Again, it's all about getting your emotions out, getting your thoughts out, something we didn't do. And, you know, but I think Uncle Michael helped a lot, you know, our immediate family that we've said, you know, helped a lot. And for me, it was, you know, not only music, but Yabo, my dog, helped a tremendous amount. Please, if you dealt with a serious loss, please find some type of therapist that's trustworthy, that's recommended, where you can get your feelings out and be directed properly. It's just incredibly important.
Yeah, we've talked about the three of us, our viewpoints of therapists and what it was looked like, how it was perceived growing up for us. But it's complete opposite. I think therapy is great. I think there's nothing wrong with you if you go to therapy. And I think communication and getting your emotions out is important. You have to,
yeah.
Especially in these situations.
And again, I'm going to read a quote from this BuzzFeed article, under number 9, which is seek out a therapist you trust. It is, "I lost my mom a little over a year ago. It was sudden and completely unexpected. The best thing that helped me cope was seeing a family therapist. She was someone to talk to about anything, and I didn't feel as if I was burdening her with my problems. I wish people weren't afraid of therapy. It's so helpful if you have an open mind." Gotta have an open mind. "Also, I let myself be sad for a while. It's okay to be sad." I think that's such a strong, you know, confession from Colleen is her name, on this article, because it's true, you know, and being able to talk freely is crucial. Crucial. You got to get every little ounce of your emotions and what you're feeling out for you to slowly start recovering and being able to navigate through it. I think we should hold our list here and maybe do like a 3-segment thing. Because I think this is very profound and strong. Before we go over the list, though, there is one more tweet I wanted to read and get your perspective, Terrell. It's from Nicole. And Nicole in Belgium says, "Hi, TJ and Terrell. My mom passed away last month as she asked my brother and I if we allowed her to go. She was ill, cancer, and we agreed. It was so tough, and I often think about that. Thanks." And Nicole, incredibly sorry for your loss. But I really want to thank you for sharing that. Because many people are going through a similar thing. And I think I wish you would call. I don't know if maybe it's a language thing, but I would love to talk to you about this, because that's something that can't be easy for any side, you know, whether it was your mom or whether it was, you know, you and your brother. But I commend you for not only, you know, peacefully letting your mother, you know, go, but also for talking about it and being open about it. It is tough, but at the same time, you know, it will, time does heal. And I'm just wanting to send all the love and support possible to you and your brother. Okay. You want to go through the list real quick, or a little quick recap, and then we can finalize the show?
Sure.
Okay, so we're gonna break this into 3 parts. And again, it's 27 things that can really help you while you're grieving. Number 1 was attend a dinner put on by the dinner party. Previous guests of ours, great ladies and great company. So that's something to look into. Number 2, set aside about 15 minutes each day to be by yourself in a quiet place to give yourself space to grieve. We need to have space. We need to grieve. Number 3, write letters to your loved one. Remember, get it out. Any way possible, get it out. Number 4, binge watch a lot of TV. It's an escape. We all need that escape. Number 5, commemorate milestones with their favorite food. Celebrate your lost ones.
Keeps you connected.
Keeps you connected. Connection is so important. Number six, find a local death cafe to talk about death and grief. Talk about death and grieving with others who have experienced loss. Again, it's connection and bonding.
And conversation.
And conversation. Number seven, look through old pictures, emails, letters, and anything else you shared. Mm. Celebrating the person. So it's really celebrating, connecting, and getting it out. You know, those are the, I guess, the three takeaways I'm getting so far. Number eight, tell a lot of jokes. I love this one because this is something that's kind of one that kind of flies under the radar.
Seems like it's against everything else. Yeah. It fits right in.
It flies under the radar, but it's a very powerful one. Tell a lot of jokes, shocking ones. laughter is beautiful for the soul. So make sure you do that. And number nine, one that's incredibly important is seek out a therapist you trust. Again, you know, we're so happy with the community we've built. But the truth of the matter is we are not licensed therapists. We're not professionally trained to help you. We're just sharing our opinion. So we encourage you to find someone who is professionally trained and to get your feelings out and your emotions out. And maybe with, you know, since it's their job, you won't feel as if you're burdening. Mm-hmm. But like I said to, in response to the tweet, you cannot feel like you're burdening. Anyone who loves you, anyone who's there, anyone who's in your life wants that. They want to connect with you. Sometimes it's just hard to know how to do it. So be proactive on that. And make sure you reach out to your loved ones if you need to.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add, Taro?
No, I think summed it up best. And it's just important to communicate, get your emotions out, and take it day by day.
Day by day. That wraps up today's show. And you're so right, Taro. Day by day is huge. You know, time heals, but it's going to take time. So take it day by day. I love that. All right, that's the end of today's show. We want to wish everyone a great rest of your week. Share love, share support, and be there for each other. Life, it goes by fast. It's precious. And, you know, there's nothing like helping others, because actually when you're helping others, you're actually also helping yourself.
So true.
So make sure you do that. And again, if you want to learn anything else about DDJF, the organization, make sure you visit our website. It's www.ddjf.org, or you can go on Instagram. Our handle there is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And that's pretty much it. I think it's time to wrap up. We want to send everyone love and hope you guys have a blessed, wonderful rest of your week. Adios.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the DD Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.